Okay, so last week we studied most of chapter 23 in Sefer Melachim Bet, which focused on the both grandeur of Yoshiyahu as well as and the fact that he destroyed all the Avodah Zarah that had been brought into Eretz Yisrael by Menashe, his grandfather, who had basically become a total vassal of the Assyrian king. The Assyrian culture, the Assyrian religion, it all came to dominate Eretz Yisrael. There was no more northern tribes, but there were remnants of the north. And comes Yoshiyahu in chapter, the end of chapter 22 and chapter 23 of Malachim Bet, what we looked at last week. And he, of course, creates a religious revival, the finding of the Sefer Torah, the setting up, the reading of the Sefer HaBrit, which he does at the beginning of chapter 23, which we learned last week. Vayamod HaMelech al HaAmud vayichrot et HaBrit lifnei Hashem. In chapter 22, he, of course, does the Pesach, which is symbolic of renewing the foundational element that makes the Jewish people a people connected to God. He cleans out the Beit HaMikdash, all those things. I just wanted to add two nekudot, two small things in this context. Number one, there's some psukim that I ran through last week. I just wanted to add to, in addition to destroying all the various Avodah Zarah and defiling all of the various toevot, the abominations that Menashe, his grandfather, had installed in Jerusalem, all the altars, the destruction of the Bamot, all those things which were amazing, and he was very successful. The Bible tells us, again, part of the attempt to undo Jewish history and take it back to the time of King Solomon before there was a schism. So the Bible says, "V'gam et ha-mizbeach asher be-beit El." He went all the way to Beit El. Now remember, Beit El is the northern, was a major cult city of the north. And again, as we mentioned last week, there are a number of indications that Yoshiyahu and Yirmiyahu attempted to try to unify, bring under the control of Judah the northern territories, especially with the decline of Assyria. As I mentioned, the decline of Assyria, this is what he took advantage of. And so the Bible says that V'gam et ha-mizbeach asher be-beit el ha-bama asher asa Yeravam ben Nevat asher achti Yisrael gam et ha-mizbeach uv et ha-bama natatz. He destroyed the mizbeach that had been created by Yeravam ben Nevat. We go back to the very foundations of the schism, and he kind of undoes the schism. He destroys the mizbeach, the altar of Yeravam ben Nevat, va'yisrof et ha-bama hadek le'afar v'saraf et ha-asherah. So he destroys it, and then the Bible tells us that he burns all the various atzamot, va'yisrof al ha-mizbeach va'yitameh. He defiles this mizbeach, and it's no longer usable. And at that point, there's this little aside. Vayisrof al hamizbeach vayitameu kidvar Hashem asher kara isha Elohim asher kara et hadvarim ha'ele. Now, who is this isha Elohim that is referring to? So again, if we just do a little bit of chazara, we go back to the beginning. We go back to the beginning again of the entire narrative of the schism. The Bible tells us after Yerav'am set up his alternative religious center in Beit El. Remember, God had allowed Yerav'am ben Nevat to create a schism on a political level, but nowhere had the prophet Achiah HaShiloni given Yeravam sanction, permission, to create an alternative religious center. Jerusalem was supposed to remain the religious center, but Yeravam felt that either he wanted to create a total schism, and he felt that if he didn't create an alternative religious center, that the political center, the political viability of the northern kingdom as a separate kingdom would be undermined. And so he created his own center in Beit El. He created the Agalim. He created new holidays. Remember all that from Malachim. But chapter 13 told us, V'hine ishalim bam yudah b'dvar Hashem al Beit El v'yiravam amein, v'yikala mizbeach b'dvar Hashem v'yomar mizbeach mizbeach. And he gives this prophecy hundreds of years before. Hine ben nolad lebeit David Yoshiyahu shemo. Now again, when you read that, you can interpret it in one of two ways. You can either say that the prophet simply said the words, Hine ben nolad lebeit David. A child will be born in the future to the house of David. And he didn't put in the name because it wouldn't have meant anything. What does the name Yoshiyahu mean to the people living in 950 BCE, 325 years before Yoshiyahu comes on the scene? It has absolutely no meaning at all. Makes no sense. Doesn't do anything for them. So it really is irrelevant to them. So one way to read this is to say that he simply gave a prophecy. Hine nolad lebeit David. And in the final edition, the final editors of the book of Malachim, i.e. Yirmiyahu and his circles, when they put it in as a statement, Yoshiyahu was the fulfiller of this prophecy. The other alternative is to say, yeah, he said Yoshiyahu and they didn't know who he was talking about. But the point is, he said this prophecy, and he said, "Vizavach alacha on the mizbeach et kohanei abamot amekatrim alecha v'atzmot adam yisrafu alecha." That's what's going to happen.
Could the name of Yoshiyahu be a prophetic allusion to Yi'ush, which Yoshiyahu abolished by his destruction of the Bamot?
Yeah, I don't think that's the etymology in terms of the way Hebrew works. I actually don't think that I don't think that's what it means. But again, I'm not sure exactly what it means. But I don't think that's the source. But okay, could be a possibility. Okay, now when we go back here, so this is the fulfillment of that, which of course is a very important theme in prophetic literature, the idea that prophecies that are predicted, if there's no teshuva and there's no attempt to change, they will actually be fulfilled. And that's exactly what happens here. And the Bible says that Vayisrof al HaMizbeach, Vayifan Yoshev Vayarta HaKvarim Asher B'ham, Vayishlach Vayikach Et HaTzamot Min HaKvarim, Vayisrof al HaMizbeach. This is the Mizbeach that Yeravam ben Nevat had built. Vayitameu, he defiled it, Kidvar Hashem Asher Kara Ish Elohim, Asher Kara Tavrim Eile. And then, Vayomer Ma'atziyun Halaz, Asher Ani Ro'eh, Vayomer, I love Anshei Ha'ir, HaKever Ish Elohim, Asher Ba Miyuda, Vayikra Tavrim Eile Asher Asita, Al HaMizbeach Beit El. Vayomer hanichulo. So don't touch his bones. Don't defile his bones. Ish al yamnav atzmotav. Vayimaltu atzmotav et atzmot tanavi. Asher ba mi shomron. Okay. So that's an important point I just wanted to add in this context. And he, of course, they do the Pesach, all the things that are trying to restore, the connection to God, and this is where we got up to, And it's in this context, again, that that Yoshiyahu is successful. And that's what we got up to. And we read at the very end of the story. And again, I just wanted to just add just a little bit of just to show you on the map. The Bible concluded this part of the chapter and told us, but it's very sotto voce. It's very quiet. But this event, transformed all of Jewish history. Remember, Yoshiyahu is reforming the entirety of the Jewish existence. He's destroyed all the Avodah Zarah. He's turned back the debacle of Menashe, the decades and decades of the work of Menashe. Now, again, we talked about the fact that, the Bible made it clear that as great as Yoshiyahu was, he wasn't, successful because of the sins of Menashe, right? And that's the previous chapter, in chapter 22. Yeah, in chapter 22, after everything that he did, the Bible says, let's see. One second. No, it's not in chapter 22, so I guess it was in the next chapter, in the chapter that we were reading, that, all these wonderful things that he did, destroyed the Bamot, did the Pesach, did all these things, and got rid of the Avot, he got it, right? Here, V'chamohu lo haya lifanav melech asher shavel Hashem b'chol levavo, b'chol nafsho, b'chol me'odo. There had never been a king who had returned to God. And you have the Devarim, Deuteronomy language here. B'chol levavcha, u'b'chol nafshecha, u'b'chol me'odecha. V'acharav lo kam kamohu. No one was like him. That's an amazing statement. And yet, Ach lo shav Hashem mecharon apo agadol asher chara po biyuda al kol ha-keasim asher yichiso Menashe. But God did not pull back. And God says, I'm going to destroy Judah like I destroyed Israel. U'ma'asti et ha'er hazot asher bacharti et Yerushalayim. Now it ends off with this story. And again, I mentioned quickly at the end, but I just wanted to give you again a little bit of a flavor, a little bit more detail in terms of the history and in terms of the maps. If one looks, Yoshiyahu starts his reign in, the year 627 or so, something like that, 629, 628. And he undertakes this in the course of 18, 20 years. He transforms Jerusalem. He transforms the Judah. He's reaches out to this, to the Northern Kingdom. He's transforming all of society. And he was probably, and very successful. And it probably, I won't say went to his head, but he probably felt that, so to speak, he had God on his side. He had God on his side, and he could, go further and challenge. And again, remember the prophets from the time of Isaiah and Micha and Yirmiyahu had all their position, their political position, was that Israel, Judah, should basically stay out of the geopolitical intrigue of the Middle East. And they should not go and fight in alliances, but rather try to stay as neutral as possible under the circumstances. And that was the mistake Ahaz made by aligning himself with Ashur. That was the mistake that Menashe made, aligning himself with Ashur ultimately. And here too, Yoshiyahu, who probably thinks he is, you know, kind of on the cusp of transforming. Maybe he'll stop the clock and he'll, you know, transform. It's almost a messianic age. Did he get a certain hubris that he believed that he would be able to be successful in stopping the Egyptians from going to help the Assyrians and, in effect, helping the Babylonians come into power? And maybe he thought that helping the Babylonians, he would get control of the northern territories. Who knows? But he gets himself involved. Biyamav ala paro necho melech Mitzrayim. And we have this accounted for in the Assyrian annals. We have it in the Egyptian annals. Biyamav ala paro necho melech Mitzrayim al melech Ashur al nahar pras. He went to fight. Together, he wanted to make an alliance. He didn't go to fight against Melech Ashur. He went al nahar prat. And we have the, you know, we have the accounts of the 3-4 year battle up there near Nahar Prat. Vayelech haMelech Yoshiyahu likrato vayimiteu b'Megido kir oto oto. He killed him. He told him to stay out, as it's described in the book of Divrei Hayamim. Now again, just to give you a sense of where you know this is, Karkamish. In the Bible. Again, the Bible here doesn't say explicit, let me put it this way, map of Karkamish in the Bible. I think this, which was a good one? This is, okay, this is a pretty good one. Yeah, let's make this a little bigger. Let's see if we can view the image. Yeah, so here, can everyone see this on their screen? Can some people say they see it?
Yes.
Okay. So again, if you look at the battles, you know, the Bible tells us, I mean, the external sources, but also the Bible tells us the Babylonians came from the east. There's a major battle in Haran between the Assyrians and the Babylonians. And the climactic battle happens a few years later in Karkemish. Karkemish is on the border. Okay, this is the Euphrates River. So exactly like it says that he was on his way up to the Euphrates River. The Karkemish is right on the border of what today is Turkey and northern Syria, northeastern Syria. And this is a climactic battle, 7605. This is the battle that basically leaves the Assyrians and the Egyptians. The Egyptians have to pull back and not participate anymore. Babel comes to dominate the entire Middle East, including all of this territory, including eventually coming down to Judah. And Paro Necho, who went up, so he is not successful, but he is successful in destroying, killing Josiah. But eventually, he loses the battle of Karkemish after a 3 year, siege and 3 years of battles here and here and here and here and all over the northern areas. And it's in this time that Josiah, Yoshiyahu, dies. And ultimately, as we'll see today, in a certain sense, Judah becomes at this point, a vassal of Mitzrayim. That totally changed Jewish history. What Yoshiyahu, what it could have been, if he would have stayed out, who knows what could have been. Paro Necho was ready to avoid any battle. And maybe, who knows what could have been. The Bible says, Biyamav ala Paro Necho melech Mitzrayim amelech Ashur al Nahar Prat, vayelech amelech Yoshiyahu likrato, vayimiteu b'migido kiroto oto. If one looks in, in Divrei HaYamim, it's a little bit even more. We have a little bit more description. I think it's Divrei HaYamim. What is it? Divrei HaYamim Lamed Dalet. So it's the story of Yoshiyahu, and at the end. The Bible says, excuse me, so I guess it's in the next chapter, already in chapter 35. The Bible says, the Pesach. And again, there's an irony here that after he does this great Pesach, he's ultimately defeated by Paro Necho. Acharei kol zot asher hichin Yoshiyahu et habayit ala Necho melech Mitzrayim liilachem b'karkemish, which we just saw. For some reason in Malachim, it doesn't explicitly tell us what city. Vayetzeli krato Yoshiyahu, vayishlach elam malachim lemor, maliv alach melech Yudah, stay out of it. Lo alecha ta ayom ki el beit milchamti, chadal lecham Elohim. Velo heisev Yoshiyahu panam mimenu, ki lilachem bo itchapes. Velo shamal divrei Necho mipia. He didn't listen to Necho, who was ultimately, you know, part of the divine plan. And he dies. And vayikonein yirmiyal yoshuvim, kolosim yirmiyal. Ad hayom vaitnum lechok al Yisrael. Again, we don't have, except for, you know, the death of Saul and the Kina, the death of Saul and the death of Yonatan, where David, here you have an official Kina that's established. They saw this as a critical moment in Jewish history. The independence, the potential independence of Judah that had become independent from the vassalhood of Assyria is now reinstated. And they are now once again vassals, they are now once again vassals, but now under Mitzrayim, And if we come back to our chapter, so let's finish up our chapter and then go to the beginning of chapter, and chapter 27. So the Bible says, after he dies, and again, I want you to remember that this is also, in a certain sense, an undermining of the nevuah of Chulda. Chulda HaNeviah, in the previous chapter, after they read the Sefer Torah, so Chulda says, "Inim beviral amakom azeva yoshvav, tachat asher azavuni vel melech Yudah, etc., etc." And she says, however, you should tell the king, you're not going to see all the destruction. Now, he didn't come to see the destruction of Jerusalem. That's correct. He didn't live to see the destruction of Jerusalem. But to say that he went bishalom, I think is not true. I think what this basically tells us is that sometimes a person, just like a bad nevuah can be undone by tshuva, so too a good nevuah can be undone by sin. And our good friend Yoshiyahu does not end up dying bishalom. He ends up dying in a war that he shouldn't be involved in. And in a certain sense, that's what happens. Yirmiyahu says this explicitly in whatever, chapter 17 and other places in the book of Yirmiyahu, that a good nevuah can sometimes be undone by sin, and a bad nevuah can be undone, prediction. A predictive nevuah can be undone by teshuvah, and that's exactly what we believe. It's not that it's set in stone. And the Bible then tells us, Vayikach am ha'aretz et Yeho Achaz ben Yoshiyahu, Vayimshechu oto, Vayimlichu oto tachat aviv. So they take the Am Ha'aretz here, does not mean the ignoramuses. Am Ha'aretz means the landed gentry, the people who are in charge. And it seems pretty clear that he too, the Am Ha'aretz, supported the foreign policy of Yoshiyahu. They were the key advisors, and they probably put Yehoahaz to be king. Ben 23 shana Yehoahaz b'molcho. It will see in a second that he is a younger son. Now, why would you choose a younger son than the older son? Probably because you think he's more ra'ui, he's more worthy, and also because he aligns with your policies, your domestic policies, your foreign policy. Because look very happy what happens. Ben 23 shana Yehoahaz b'molcho, u'shlosha chodoshim, he's only there for 3 months. Vayasara b'nei Hashem k'chol asher asu avotav. He does bad in the eyes like his fathers. Now, how much bad can you do in 3 months? Does he bring back all the avodah zarah? I don't know. But one thing he clearly does is he ticks off Mitzrayim, because the next pasuk says, Vayasreyu paro necho b'rivla b'eretz chamat. Remember, we saw Rivla on the, you know, on the map. Rivla is up there in Syria, in northern Syria. And he basically, you know, puts him in jail. Mimloch b'Yerushalayim. Vayitein onesh al ha'aretz mea kikar kesef v'kikar zahav. Vayamlech paro necho et el yakim ben Yoshiyahu. Tachat Yoshio aviv. Vayasev et shemo yeho yakim. He takes. Now, obviously, changing the name means that you are now in control. He's your vassal. Mitzrayim installs El Yakim, who they change now to Yehoyakim. So these are the sons of Yoshiyahu. First is Yehoahaz, 3 months. Now Yehoyakim. And this guy, Yehoahaz, ends up in Mitzrayim and he dies. V'hakesef v'azahav natan Yoyakim leparo achayarich et ha'aretz latet et ha'aretzef ish ke'arko nagas et ha'kesef et zahav et ha'aretz latet leparo necho. Obviously, he punishes those who had been supportive of his brother. The Am Ha'aretz, he imposes upon them a fine. They're the ones who have to pay this tribute, this vassal tax. And clearly, Yehoyakim is not on the side of the Babylonians, but at least at this point, but he's on the side of the, you know, of the Egyptians. He's a vassal to Egypt. I don't know what he is exactly, but he certainly was not on the same side. And again, notice, Ben Esrim Shana Yehoyakim b'Molcho. He was 25, which means that he is older than Yehoahaz, because Yehoahaz was 23, and he only was king for 3 months, which means that originally the Am Ha'aretz had skipped over Yehoyakim, whose original name was Eliakim, and he is king for 11 years. Now, those 11 years are very fateful years. Because, you know, our good friend Yoshiyahu, you know, dies probably at the beginning of this battle in the north that, according to the Assyrian and Babylonian annals, took 4 years, 609 to 605. 605 is the time that is a critical moment in history. This is the time when the Babylonians decisively defeated the Assyrians and the Egyptians at Carchemish. And it is recorded as a very important time in the history, the Babel of biblical history as well. Because the Bible tells us, if we go to the book of Yirmiyahu, the Bible tells us about this very important date. In chapter 25, Hadavar Asher Haya al Yirmiyahu al Kol Am Yehuda Bashana Harevi'it, the fourth year, Lehoyakim Ben Yoshiyahu Mechida, He Hashana Harishonit Levuchadrezzar Melech. This is a critical time. This is the time that Nebuchadnezzar comes into power. This is the time that Babel has decisively defeated the Assyrians and the Egyptians. This is the time that all of this happens. And if I'm not mistaken, I would just add, from this point on, Egypt will no longer be a factor until very, very late near the Khorban, where they'll try to turn to Egypt for help and stuff like that. But the Bible makes that very clear. If I'm not mistaken, it's in Divrei Hayamim. In Divrei Hayamim, in that same chapter that we looked at, I'm looking in Divrei Hayamim, in that same chapter that we looked at in Lamed Hay, with the destruction of the, yeah. Let's see here. One second. Is it the next chapter? And in the next chapter, Vayikhu am ha'aretz et Yehoyachaz ben Yosheh ben Yehoyachaz tachat aviv. I thought it said here, but again, okay, we'll find those psukim. Okay, we'll find those psukim. Anyway, back to our chapter. So our chapter tells us, so in Yirmiyahu, during the fourth year of Yoyakim is the first year of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadrezzar, it's the same person. He appears with two different names. The word Nebuchadrezzar or Nebuchadnezzar is a conjunction of two words. Nebuchadnezzar, Nebu, is one of the major gods of Babylonia at the time, second in importance to Marduk as a Babylonian god, the god of Nebo or Nebo or Nebu. It may be connected to the word Navi, maybe not, unclear, but it has to do something like the god Nebo should protect, or Nebu or Nebo should protect my heirs, my Yorshim. That's what the word Nebuchadnezzar means, according to most scholars. So this is a critical moment. Yirmiyahu, for the last, 23 years, the first half of the book of Yirmiyahu has been prophesying to them to do tshuva, to go back, lest something terrible has happened. Va'adaber aleichem ashkem v'daber v'lo shma'atem. You didn't listen. You didn't listen. And now, because of this, hineni sholeach v'lakachti et kol mishpachot tzfon na'um Hashem v'et Nebuchadnezzar avdi v'aviyotim al ha'aretz hazot v'al yoshveh v'al kol ha'goyim el saviv. He's going to come and he's going to destroy. Va'avadati mehem kol sason v'kol simcha kol chatan v'kol. He's going to destroy everything. This is the prophecies. He now explicitly mentions Babel is going to bring the end of what we know as the Judean kingdom. The book of Jeremiah is out of order, so it's also important. Jeremiah also gives us a little bit of a window into who this Yehoyakim character was. In chapter 22, Yirmiyahu, this is a nevuah that's given to Jehoiakim. And he says to him, go and tell the king, Ko Amar Hashem, Asu Mishpat Utsdaka, Vahatzilu Gazul Miarashok, Veger Yatom, right? Do tzedek, do social justice. V'dam naki al tishpichu b'makom. Don't kill innocent blood. Don't do that. And that's what he says. And he speaks about this king. And what does he call him? Hoy bone beito below tzedek. Va'aliotav below mishpat. He doesn't do tzedek and mishpat. Ha'umer evneli beit midot va'aliot meruva. I'm going to build beautiful palace for myself. Dan din ani ve'evyon aztov. If you do that, then it'll be good. Ki ein einecha libcha kim al bitzecha v'al dam naki lishpoch. Lachen ko amar Hashem el Yehoyakim ben Yosheo mel Yehuda lo yispedu lo hoyachi v'hoyachot. He will not get royal treatment, royal hespedim. Kvurat chamor yikaver. He will be buried like a donkey. Sachov v'hashlech. So Yehoyakim, Yirmiyahu did not like Yehoyakim. Yehoyakim is presented in the book of Jeremiah as, you know, terrible king. Yehoyakim probably, you know, still saw himself as a vassal of Egypt, saw himself as someone who should continue to battle Bavel when it was possible, and was a person of deep, deep, you know, greed against social justice. That's the description that we have here in the book of Jeremiah. Yehoyakim is the one who tries to put Yirmiyahu to death. He's the one who, you know, the Bible describes. The trial of Jeremiah takes place. Bereshit Mamlechet Yehoyakim ben Yoshiyahu. This is where Yirmiyahu gave his famous speech. Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem. That, you know, people think, oh, the temple is gonna stay forever. The temple is gonna stay forever. And we'll be protected. We'll be protected. And everything is gonna be hunky dory. And he describes the fact that there was a Navi. That's the Damnaki. That Yehoyakim killed. V'gam Ishaya mitnabe b'shem Hashem Uriah ben Shmaya mikiryat ha'yarim v'yanabe la'ir azot v'chol divrei Yirmiyahu v'yishma melech Yehoyakim v'chol b'yim v'yivakesh melech hamito v'yishma Uriah v'yira v'yivrach v'yavo Mitzrayim v'yishlach ha'melech Yehoyakim anashim Mitzrayim, and they gave him back, because Mitzrayim was, of course, the overarching power at this time. And they wanted to kill Yirmiyahu as well. That is the portrait that we have of this period of Yehoyakim. It's a terrible period of unfortunate, a sense, you know, oh, this little bubble that they lived in for a decade while Bavel was fighting the battles up there in the north. And destroying the last remnants of the Assyrians and fighting with the Arameans. And who else what they were fighting with? You know, Judah was able to kind of see itself under the wings of Egypt and kind of protected and did its own thing, including, unfortunately, a tremendous amount of itzedek, tremendous amount of not taking care of the poor, and the rich got richer, all these things. And the Bible now tells us that at some point, Babylonia finished its conquest of Assyria, finished its dealing with the Phoenicians and the Arameans, and now turned to Jerusalem and Judah, because Jerusalem and Judah were one of the vassal states of Mitzrayim. And this is now, you know, plum pickings to continue. Biamav Allah, right? Biamav Allah Nebuchadnezzar Melech Babel, Vahilo Yoyakim Eved Shalosh Shanim, Vayashav Imrodbo. For a time he had to succumb to Babel, but he ultimately rebelled with all kinds of help from the Egyptians and other city-states that didn't want to be under the thumb of Babel. Vayishlach Hashem bo et gdudei Kasdim ve et gdudei Aram ve et gdudei Moab ve et gdudei Bnei Amon. Vayishlachem Yehuda l'avido. God sent these forces that were aligned together with Babel. Kidvar Hashem asher diber b'yad avadav ha-nevi'im. I.e., people like Jeremiah. The innocent blood like that Navi. Again, I always mention the word Dam Naki in Tanakh does not mean that the people there were Jeffrey Dahmer. They were not psychopaths. They killed innocent blood means they killed the people who resisted their political point of view, their religious point of view, domestic policy, foreign policy. The lo ava Hashem lislach. The yeter divrei Yehoyakim v'chol asher asah, haloheim k'tuvim al sefer divrei amin malachei Yehudah. Vayishkav Yehoyakim imovotav, vayimloch Yehoyakim b'no tachtav. Vayimloch Yehoyakim b'no tachtav. And he died, Vayimloch Yehoyachin b'no tachtav. This is Yehoyachin. So we saw Yehoahaz, 3 months. Yehoyakim, about 11 years. And now, and this is the psukim I was referring to. Yehoyachin becomes king, but he's not really able to be king because at this point, you know, after the Mered of Bavel, after the Mered, the rebellion against Bavel, Bavel is not going to simply let this shoshelet, let this, dynasty continue. Vayishkav Yehoyakim imovotav, vayimloch Yehoyachin b'no tachtav, the lo hosif od melech Mitzrayim latzeit miartzo. At this point, Bavel becomes the hegemon in, this is probably around 597 or so. Bavel becomes the dominant power, even in the northern parts of Israel, as well as in Judah. Ki lakach melech Bavel minachal Mitzrayim ad Nahar Prat, kol asher hayta lemelech Mitzrayim. And the Bible tells us that in this context, the lo hosif od melech Mitzrayim latzeit ne'artzo. Mitzrayim is now roundly defeated and goes back and retreats to Egypt, never again during this period of time to come out and actually fight a battle against Bavel face to face on Israelite territory.
This is from the river to the sea, isn't it?
From the river to the sea. Minachal Mitzrayim, which is probably Wadi El Arish, up until the Euphrates. Ben Shmona Esrei Shana Yoyachin B'Malcho U'Shlosha Chodoshim Alach B'Yerushalayim. V'shem imo nechushta bat el Natan mi Yerushalayim. And the Bible says, Vayasa Rabbani Hashem k'chol asher asa aviv, va'eta hi alu avdei Nebuchadnezzar cholel, v'tavo ha'ir b'matzor. The city is besieged. V'yavo Nebuchadnezzar cholel v'ir, v'avadav tzarim aleha, v'yetze yo yachin melech Yudal melech Bavel, Hu v'imo v'avadav v'sarav v'sarisav. And this is the what we call Galut Yehoyachin. The elite, the royal family is taken into exile, as well as the intelligentsia and the upper crust. Vayikachoto melch bavel bishnat shmona lemolcho. So Yoyachin is taken in the 8th year of his reign. Yoyachin. Vayasara ben Yashem, right? So for 3 months he's in Jerusalem, etc., etc.
Why did they change Yehoyakim's name? What was purpose of that?
The purpose of that is to show subservience. That you're my vassal. That's the point of changing a name. That I control you. That's the point of changing a name. Vayetzeo Yachin Melech Yudal Melech Bavel Hu V'Imo Vayikachoto Melech Bavel Bishnat Shmona L'Molcho, in the 8th year of Nebuchadnezzar, if he started in 605, so this is basically 597 BCE, 11 years before Churban HaBayit. Vayotze Misham Et Kol Otzrot Beit Hashem Ve'Otzrot Beit HaMelech Vayikatzeitz, he takes all of the treasures. Vayikatzeitz Et Kol Klezav, just as we learned earlier in the book of Kings, that the destruction of the northern kingdom did not happen overnight. It was a process. First, Ashur took a couple of cities in the time of Menachem. And then they took more cities. And then finally, the last blow was the total capture by Shalman Eser and Sargon. Here too, it's a kind of creeping exile. First, there is the vassalhood under Bavel. But the vassalhood doesn't last very long because they rebel. And then Bavel comes and decides to take charge itself. And it installs a new king. But it takes into exile the intelligentsia and the upper crust and the royal family. And it takes a lot of the otsrot, the treasures of the Beit Hashem and the treasures of the Beit HaMelech, of the palace. Vaykatzeitz et kol klei hazav asher asa Shlomo Melech Yisrael b'Heichal Hashem. Again, the idea being the undermining of the temple. Solomon built this temple at the beginning of this book. We are slowly undermining, destroying the temple. It's being slowly eviscerated. Its treasures are being taken. Its doors are being taken. I'm sorry, its kelim are being taken. Vihiglad kol yishlaim bet kol asarim bet kol giborei achayil, all the elite, aseret alafim golev v'chol acharash v'amazger, and all the artisans. Lo nishar zulat dalat ha'aretz. The only people left were the poor people, the lower class, the dalat ha'aretz, the people who were poor, who owned only a little bit of land. Vayagel et Yoyachin bavela, ve'et eim ha'melech, ve'et nishay ha'melech, ve'et sarisav, ve'et elei ha'aretz, the powerful people. Holich golah Yerushalayim bavel. This is the golah that Mordechai, as described, or his ancestors, Asher Hagla Birushalayim, Im Hagola Asher Haglita, Im Yechonya Melech Yehuda. Mordechai's ancestors, or Mordechai himself, went into exile during this galut. It probably means his ancestors went in this galut. This was a very traumatic event in Jewish history, 597 BCE. Yoyachin was, so to speak, the last. Think about it. Up until this point, Judah, whatever sins they had done, it was what we call in Hebrew, ben achar ben achar ben. It was son after son after son. There had been no coups, C-O-U-P, that had undermined and created a new house, a new dynasty. In the northern tribes, we saw that all the time. Beit Omri and Beit Basha and Beit this one and Beit that one, the house of this and the house of that. Here, up from Solomon till now, it was uninterrupted. Yehoahaz was a son of Yoshiau. When he was killed, another son of Yoshiau took over. So there was no new house and there was certainly no new direction. But here, Yoyachin is the last son of Yoshiyahu. Vayagel et Yoyachin bavela vet eim ha-melech vet neshe ha-melech vet elei ha-aretz. Vet kol anshe ha-chayil shivat alafim v'charash v'amaz der elef ha-kol. In total, 1,000. Vayivim melech, okay? Vayimloch melech bavel et matanya dodo tachtav. Instead of a child of Yoyachin, Yoyachin's uncle, the brother of Yoshiyahu, becomes king. So it's not another house, but it's tantalizing. It's the first time that a son does not take over for the previous father. It's a brother, Matanya Dodo, the uncle of Yoyachin, the brother of Yoshiyahu. And his name is also changed again to show vassalhood. Vayasev et shmo Tzidkiyahu. And his name is changed. Ben esrim ve'achat shana Tzidkiyahu b'molcho, ve'achat esrei shana malach Yerushalayim. He is going to be the last king of Israel. But on a different level, Yoyachin is really the last king of Israel. He's got a kind of, his entourage goes with him. The intelligentsia goes with him. The royal family goes with him. Tzidkiyahu doesn't have that. Ben esrim v'achat shana tzidkiyahu b'molcho, v'achat esrei shana malach Yerushalayim, v'shem imo chamutal bat Yirmiyah milivna, v'yasar rabbeinu Hashem kol asher asa Yoyakim, ki al af Hashem, because of the anger of the Lord, haitav Yerushalayim yad hishlicho tam yal panav, and at some point, Tzidkiyahu also decides to rebel against Bavel, ignoring the advice of Yirmiyahu, who keeps telling them, after the first half of the book of Jeremiah, where he keeps telling them to do tshuva, and who knows, things can change. The second half of his life, Jeremiah basically tells them, submit to Bavel and stop rebellion, because all the rebellion will bring is the destruction of more and more and more destruction. At least maybe you can save something and maybe less people will be killed. It's time to simply submit to the yoke of Bavel. Maybe, who knows, something will be saved. But that's not the Vayimrod Tzidkiyahu b'melech Bavel.
Did Yirmiyahu?
One second.
Is Mechutin?
One second. Let me stop the share. Yes, I'm back now. Yes.
Was Yirmiyahu his Mechutin?
Was Yirmiyahu, I'm sorry?
Was Yirmiyahu the Mechutin of Tzidkiyahu?
No. It's a different Yirmiyahu there. It's a different Yirmiyahu. Okay. It says who, it's a different Yirmiyahu. So this is where we come to. We have one more chapter left, which is going to describe the Churban, which we'll get to next week, and as long as that takes. Let me see if I would like to put something, if I can do it, in the chat. Yes, I am putting in the chat. As you know, many of you know, every year I coordinate the Yemei Iyun on Bible and Jewish thought and Talmud, which is held at the end of June. The last 2 years it's been under the auspices of SAR, together with many co-sponsors. And the brochure just came out this week. I think, let me see if I click on it. Yes, it comes up. So I put it. Hello? Oh, did I go? Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, so I put it in the chat for those who want it. But you'll also see it probably coming from the various organizations that you're involved with, including Torah in Motion, the next few days, weeks. For those of you who are in the New York area, please are welcome to participate. Share it with your friends. Also, we have included a Zoom component on Monday afternoon for those who are not able to be with us in New York. There's going to be 9 shiurim on Zoom on Monday afternoon to help include many people from Israel who will be teaching Menachem Liptag, Yael Ziegler, and other great teachers, Rav Yoel Bin Nun and others who are going to be teaching both in Hebrew and in English for those who want to hear them directly on Zoom. I wish everybody a Shabbat Shalom. And again, our tefillot are with the chatufim and with all those soldiers who are on the front lines and with the families who are suffering. And may we hear besorot tovot soon. Shabbat shalom.
Amen. Shabbat shalom. Good Shabbos.
Toda rabba v'shabbat shalom.
Zay gezint.
Zay gezint.
Shkoach. Thank you for a wonderful show.
Thank you.